Morning, church. It's great to have you here this morning. If you're here for the first time, welcome to our family. We hope you enjoy your stay and your visit, and if God leads you to remain. Last week, we've been sharing around the Word of God in your life. What does the Word of God mean to you, and how does the Word of God operate in your life as an individual? And we looked at the fact that God's Word is not just alive and active, but that God's Word has a purpose. And the purpose is beyond just declaring the truth. The purpose is to establish life in us. And we looked at the fact that God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts, and there's a great divide between the two. And Isaiah speaks of that great divide and says, in the same way that God sends rain from heaven to earth to water the earth to bring forth life, so does God send forth His Word to bring forth life in us. Even though our ways and our thoughts are divided and far apart from one another, the purpose of God's Word is to bring the two together as we embrace the Word of God, which is alive and active within us. But the key is the application of the Word of God, because that fulfills the purpose of God's Word in our lives. And we looked at that last week. If you missed the sermon, you're more than welcome to download it from the website. So this morning, I really want to continue from that as we looked at how does the Word of God operate in our life and how are we ought to respond to that Word of God. This morning, I really want to share about how to hear God's voice. So I actually started from the back and I'm now coming to the beginning. But I want to, this morning, just share around how to hear God's voice. It is interesting, as we shared last week, that we find in the Bible the Word of God, which is commanded by God and inspired by God, to be written down so that we have an understanding of who God is, so that we have an understanding of the revelation of God. And there are so many people at times when I speak to people in the streets and in the park, just doing some evangelism and chatting to them about God and the reality of God. So many times they say, but if they can only see God, this invisible God, this eternal God, why doesn't God just come and manifest Himself so that we can see Him and relate to Him? And then it's great for me to say, but that's exactly what God actually did. He already did that. The Word became flesh and dwelled amongst us so that we can see and behold the glory of God. He came to show us in the flesh who He is. And man saw Him, reacted, interacted with Him, and we know how mankind, even though God came in the flesh, manifested Himself, man rejected Him. But yet, through faith, we can embrace God and the salvation that He offers. But nevertheless, we have the Logos Word, which is God's revealed Word given to us so that we may know Him and understand Him. Yeah, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17, we read that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, in other words, teaching, for reproof and correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if you just look at the Word of God, the Logos Word of God, the written Word of God, as it is, as we find it, God says Himself about it. He says it is inspired by Him, and its purpose is for us to grow, for man to grow in all righteousness. We can use it, apply it. Its purpose for that is to establish in us righteousness, teaching the right way, doctrine, and for correction where need be. But the key, like I shared last time, is the fact that it needs to be applied. The Word of God in itself needs to be applied in our life to have its effect. Interesting enough, we are called disciples of Jesus. In other words, that means we are following the teachings of Jesus and His example. That's what it means to be a disciple. It does not just mean hearing the Word of God and believing in the Word of God. It means applying the Word of God. And we spent some time on that last time where Jesus says, let me show you who is the man who hears my word but puts it into practice versus the man who hears my word and does not put it into practice. And we spend some time around Jesus' words and teaching concerning that. So I don't want to spend too much time there. That's a little bit of recap for those who wasn't here last week. But please, you can download the sermon. So I'm just continuing here. In Hosea 4 verse 6, we read the following very well-known verse. It says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, in the context of us being disciples, in other words, those who follow the teachings of Christ and his example, Scripture also says that my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Now, knowledge in itself is not just the way we understand knowledge. In other words, you know, exposure to a lot of information which is memorized. Knowledge here, the Hebrew word, the root word for that is yada, which literally means to know by experience. So though my people perish because they do not know me by experience. They know of me because they are my people, but they do not know of experience, and therefore they perish. And I guess that's the great divide between religion and relationship, where you have the knowledge of God versus knowing God, where you have man's interpretation of God's word versus God's interpretation of his word. And that can only be found in a relationship, and that's, I guess, some of the divides. Knowing the rules versus knowing God, there's a big difference. Unfortunately, the world is full of man's interpretation, full of knowing in exposure to the rules of God, but very little of knowing and experiencing God. We were not created to know about God, but we were created to know God. It's interesting how God created man and woman to know and to have fellowship with God, to walk with God, to have communion with Him, to have an understanding and a relationship with Him. Not just to know about the Creator. God could have created the universe and everything in it and placed us in it and say, there you go. But God walked with man, communicated with man, interacted with man. So we were created right from the start with the ability and purpose to not just know of God, but to know God and to interact with God. That is how God created us. Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, and maybe I'll pause there for a moment, that his people not only hears his voice, but they recognize it, and then they follow him. And it speaks about the three phases, if you want to know. Hearing the voice of God, recognizing it, and then following it. We read here from verse 1, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And in the past, I remember I had a whole sermon on that, and I also showed how the shepherds in the Middle East, even to this day, shepherd differently than how we shepherd in the West, our sheep. I grew up on a farm. We farmed with flowers, so we didn't have livestock. But many of my father's brothers farmed also with livestock, with cattle as well as sheep. And it was always fun to visit and play on the farm, and especially at the times when you had to herd the sheep together. Because then you get your whips and your sticks and your stuff out, and you went to look for the sheep in the field, you know, which is an adventure at first, you know, to go find the sheep. And then once you've located the sheep, then you need to get them all together, and it's a big noise, and you're chasing them around, and you're trying to corner them. And once you've cornered everybody together, then you start moving to them toward the kraal, and it's a chasing here and a chasing there. But in the Middle East, it doesn't work that way. In the Middle East, what simply happens is the shepherd will, you will find, you know, it's amazing. I had some footage. I didn't bring it this time because I don't want to focus too much on it. But you'll have a well with lots of different shepherds and different flocks of sheep gathering together at this place of water, because it's not very, what's the word that I'm looking for? It's scarce. You know, water is not a commodity available everywhere. So you have a few wells, and all the sheep and the shepherds come together to that place of water of substance. But then you will see one shepherd, he starts to sing. And then he starts to walk. And he calls. And as he calls, lo and behold, the sheep, some of the sheep, start to leave the rest of the sheep and go behind the shepherd. And that's how they do shepherding. They don't go there and look, okay, which mark do you have under this bum and this leg? No, this is mine, take it this way. They don't do that. It's amazing. They sing and then they start calling their sheep and then they walk. And I even had a footage of a shepherd crossing a busy road in peak traffic. And you have got all these cars coming and going. And you see the shepherd walking in front with all the sheep coming. And then you see the shepherd stops at the roadside and all the sheep stop behind him. And he waits for the gap between the traffic. And then he sees a gap and he starts to walk through the traffic. And then, lo and behold, here comes the sheep following the shepherd. Now, that's amazing. But that's the culture, of course, through which God revealed himself to Jewish culture in the times. So he says this in here, my sheep, like in the natural, they hear my voice. They recognize my voice between the voice of the other shepherds. Because there are many shepherds. There are many voices out there, but my sheep, they recognize my voice and they follow me because they know my voice. So for us, God is just saying, listen here, we have the capacity to know his voice. We ought to know his voice, to recognize his voice. In other words, there are many voices going around in this world. There's the voice of our own heart, our own understanding. There's the voice of the world, its philosophy. There's the voice of our friends, our culture. There's lots of different voices that speaks to us through which we interpret many things. But God is saying that my sheep, my people, they hear my voice. And they recognize it and they follow me. So we all have the capacity to do so. So many times, it comes back to the basics. And the voice of God again, which is so powerful about this, is not just hearing and recognizing, but then also following, applying the word of God in our lives. And I spend a lot of time about that next time. But so many times in life, we face success and opposition. We face breakthrough and frustration. And naturally, we tend to look in ourselves for an answer in a way to deal with the frustration in our life, to deal with the opposition, to deal with the success, instead of looking towards our shepherd, our Lord, and to hear his voice and hear his way and following him. Because after all, we are disciples of Christ. And you know, I counsel people from time to time who face tribulation and frustration, even within the church. And it is so interesting to see how we look to ourselves and how we respond out of our own understanding, out of our own cultural background, out of how the world deals with frustration, how it deals with conflict. And then our first reaction is to do the same. Well, you know, I've got rights. This is not fair. This is how it ought to be done. Or we can actually look at how and what Jesus teaches concerning persecution, tribulation, frustration, what he teaches and how he models. And then we need to choose whether we are going to go this way or that way. But I want to encourage you. We are disciples, which means we follow the teachings and the examples of Christ. But that's just logos. That's just what we can find by reading and studying the word as we have it. As we have it, as it is here today, it is amazing. We take it so for granted. But you know what? Within here, we have the words of Christ. We have the example of Christ. And even more practical and specific is not just the words of God, but also the people that followed Christ. In other words, what I love about Acts and the rest of the New Testament, which makes it so challenging, like I say so many times, it's not just the words of God that has been recorded for us, but for us was recorded the examples of the people who took the word of God, applied it in their life, and then lived it. In other words, we now, by example, see what is the correct interpretation of what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because we have Acts, and we have Luke, and we have Romans, and Corinthians, and Ephesians, and all those other books. We have the examples of people that took the words of Christ, applied it in their life, so that we know what is the correct interpretation of those words. Which is challenging, but it is very clear for us, so that we can follow. So that's the Word of God, as it is, the Logos Word of God. Powerful. The way you apply it will determine the fruit it delivers in you. And I can guarantee you, as you apply this, you will be changed. More and more to become like Christ. It's kind of obvious. Follow his teachings, follow his examples, and you will become more like him. Okay. It's not rocket science. Sometimes we try to make the gospel very complicated. But its beauty and its power is its simplicity. And then the supernatural comes to add to that. The Holy Spirit and the power of God. Which changes us. Okay. So yes, we can hear God's voice. And it is very important to do so. God speaks to us. But this morning I want to focus on how exactly does He speak to us. And how can we hear His voice? Now, there's been many sermons which I have preached and I've heard others preach, but I want to focus on a particular portion of Scripture that one day I was just asking the question to God, you know, how must I teach concerning this very topic? Hearing the voice of God. Because there's obviously various ways. But then God showed me a portion of Scripture which I like to use, which is actually a very beautiful picture. Again, it's found in Acts. It's for us recorded so that we have a glimpse into the lifestyle of those who followed Christ. And here we see the life of Peter, one of the disciples. Now, this is after Jesus died and rose to heaven. All right? Peter, in his walk, and I want us to read here from Acts 10, verse 1. A little glimpse in the life of Peter. Okay. I'm going to start here at verse 1. Now, at Caesarea, there was a man called Cornelius. He was a centurion. In other words, he was in the army and he was an officer. In what was known the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devoted and God-fearing. But of course, they were Gentiles. Not Jews, but Gentiles. And he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. And one day, about the third hour in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. And Cornelius stared at fear in him. What is it, Lord? He asked. And the angel answered, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. Now when the angel had spoke to him, had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devoted soldier who was one of his attendants. I'm just going to stop there for a moment. Now we see here a picture of a Gentile officer in the army, a God-fearing man who prayed regularly and also gave to the poor. And here we see specifically God speaking to this man through a vision. Or even more specifically, through an angel. There was a specific voice of God or a messenger that came to speak to this man. Specifically concerning the word of God. So here we see Cornelius, while he was praying, an angel appears and speaks specifics to him. He says, listen, yeah, this is who I am. And the reason I'm here is to in acknowledgement of your faith. So he identifies himself as a messenger of God. The God that you pray to, the God that you serve, this is who I am. Okay? I am not representing any other famine of somebody's imagination, no, any other religion. This is who I am. And then he starts speaking specifics to this man. He says, listen here, I want you to go and send man to meet this specific man. And he actually gives the name and the surname. And then he says the exact location, the name and the career, so that you can find this man, and specifically at this place, you must send people there. Specific instructions. Interesting. So now, that's one way God speaks. Specifics. God can speak specifics in your life. God can tell you, I want you to go to this place at this time to meet this person. God speaks in specifics. And God can send an angel to do that, if need be. So one of the ways that God speaks is through specifics, through a messenger, through angels. Okay, now let's continue here. So about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter now, the disciple, went up to the roof to pray, unaware of everything that took place. Here we have another person, Peter the apostle, praying. And he became hungry and wanted to eat something. And while the meal was prepared, he fell into a trance. In other words, he saw a vision. And he saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and the birds of the air. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I never have eaten anything impure or unclean." And the voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back into heaven. So, here we have another example of how God speaks. Here Peter was praying, and while he was praying, he saw a vision. And this vision was a picture. It wasn't a person, it wasn't an angel that spoke specifics to him. No, he saw a picture. And this picture was abstract. He didn't really understand it. It was a sheet with lots of different reptiles and birds and all kinds of things that the Jew sees as unclean. Not to touch, not to eat. And there was an abstract vision that he saw. And while he saw this vision, he also spoke to God. And he also heard a voice. But nevertheless, the emphasis of this occasion was the vision. It was abstract. And more importantly, Peter, at the time, didn't have a cooking clue what this means. He didn't understand. He said, "No, well, I'm not going to eat this. I don't know what it means, but I'm not going to eat this." And God spoke to him in that vision, and even at the end of it, he still didn't understand. But he did see and he did hear God's voice. God spoke to him through a vision. So while Peter was thinking about this vision, pondering about it, didn't know what it means, the three men that were sent by Cornelius arrived. So let's continue. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, see, he was thinking about it. The men sent by Cornelius found out what Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. Amazingly, specifically following the commands of God, got to Peter. And they called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. Now, well, obviously Peter was inside, didn't hear what was going on. These people were looking for him. So while people were thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him. Now we have another way of God speaking to Peter. First it was a vision, and now while he was wondering about this, the Spirit of God spoke to Peter and said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Okay, so Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you're looking for." Why is Peter saying that? Because, hey, the Holy Spirit just told me that's what I need to do. He got outside, and behold, there were three men. Very suspicious. They are military. And you are a Jew. But God says I must go with you, so here I am. Let's go. "Why have you come?" And then the men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion." Very shaky. Okay. "He is a righteous and God-fearing man, who is respected by all the Jewish people." Okay. "A holy angel told him that you have to come with to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. So it's interesting there that the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter. First he had a vision that he didn't understand. And then another way God speaks is through his Holy Spirit, like he did to Peter. We read, of course, in Kings 19, very well-known portion of Scripture. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain speaking to Moses in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And then we have this picture of this great and powerful wind that tore through the mountains and shattered the rocks. And then, you know, God was not found in the wind. And then there was an earthquake. But God was not in the earthquake. And then there was fire, and God was not in the fire. And then there was this gentle whisper. The New King James says a small, still voice. And Elijah heard it, pulled his cloak over his face, and went out and stood in the mouth of the cave. You know, there's so many times we think or we have an expectation that the voice of God is this earth-moving, earth-shaking event that takes place with fire and brimstone and rocks and buildings shaking, and there God speaks. But here God, right from the start, shows that, listen here, I don't need to do this. In my wisdom, I choose to speak to you in the way I choose to speak to you. And I choose to speak to you softly, humbly. Because this is who I am. I don't need to prove myself. I am God. I am who I am. And I'm not going to perform for man. And it's so interesting, many times when you engage with people again who does not believe, who's unsure about God, they always say, well, you know, if God will come and show himself to me, then I will believe. In other words, God, if you bow down to my will and my expectation, then I will follow you. And it's always ironic, instead of man bowing down to God to follow God in his terms, we want God to come to meet to our terms so that on that basis we will consider following God. That's just on the side, it's for free. But nevertheless, here we see God speaks to this still small voice. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks to us not through earth-moving events. Many times when the Holy Spirit speaks, it's like a still small voice. Nobody else hears it. It's something that you hear within yourself. Like with Peter. While he was sitting there, the Holy Spirit spoke to him to come down. And again, the Holy Spirit speaks in specifics. And Peter responded and moved down. So he went with him. Now let's continue. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together all his relatives and close friends. And Peter was coming in. Cornelius went up to him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, man. I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who have come together. And then he said to them, "You know that it is unlawful, and you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or to go to one another's to another's nation. But God had showed me that I should not call any man uncommon or unclean. Therefore, I come without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, what are the reason that you have sent me or for me?" So Peter walked in obedience, and right at the moment, he gave the revelation of the vision. Because you must remember, when Peter had the vision in the beginning, he didn't understand, he didn't know what it meant. Then the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and he was obedient. The Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "Listen here, there's three men waiting for you, so I want you to go with him." So we went with him. By the time Peter arrived at Cornelius' house, he understood the meaning of the vision. And then he understood that God was not talking about the animals that had to be eaten. He was talking about the fact that you as a Jewish man regard the Gentiles as unclean. You are not allowed to come into their presence or go into their house because they are unclean. So by the time Peter got there, he understood the vision. You see, but it was dependent on Jesus, on Peter's application of the word. Because he was obedient to what the Holy Spirit was saying, God gave him the revelation of that vision at the right time so that he could do God's will. So it's not just about hearing God's voice, it's about applying God's voice. And as you apply God's voice, you know what? It becomes alive in your life. Same to you and Peter's life. Daniel chapter 12, verse 8 to 9 says the following: "I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, 'My Lord, what will be the outcome of this?' And he replied, 'Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end.'" So some visions you will not understand until the appointed time. Sometimes God speaks to us and we just don't understand. That does not mean it's not God. That just means it has an appointed time for the revelation. But we need to obedient. We need to continue in obedience. And in Peter's life, as he continued in obedience, at the appointed time, that revelation, that vision, became a reality in his life. And he understood what it meant. So yeah, let's continue. In Acts 10, verse 30 to 34, we read the following. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, as Peter asked him, because remember, Peter now asked him, "Why have you called me? Here I am." So it's very interesting. None of them really knows what is going to happen because Cornelius don't really know either. Because remember, God, the angel just told Cornelius, "I want you to go and pick up that man at that town." So Cornelius picked up the man. The man came and he said, "Well, why did you say I must come?" So both are pretty much confused. They don't know. All they know is God spoke and they were obedient, even though it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense to Cornelius to go pick up Peter. It didn't make sense for Peter to follow these three men. They both meet and they're both confused. The one asked the other one, "So why are you here?" So, now here we continue. So Cornelius said, "Well, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." And I said, well, maybe I must just stop there for a moment. It's very interesting that in both these men's life, God spoke to them while they were praying. Both of them were praying. And while they were praying, God spoke to them. They were not busy with their everyday life. They didn't go on with it. They were actually at a place, focused, to commune with God. And at that place of dedication, consecration, focusing on God, God spoke to them. You know, and so many times we are amazed. But like I say, you know, Scripture is very simple and very clear. James 4 verse 8 says, not on the slide, but it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. In Proverbs it says, if you diligently seek God, you will find Him. So if you really seek me with all your heart, you will find me. I always thought ministry to the poor. While I was still in South Africa as a minister, my portfolio was community development, and I always used to teach in Bible school ministry to the poor. And one of the things I always said is that your motivation will determine your commitment. In the context of working with the poor, what is your motivation? Your motivation will determine your commitment. But you know what? Isn't that so true also in our relationship with God, especially when it comes to prayer? Because so many times we come to God seeking answers, but we don't seek God. And that's kind of the wrong way around. Sometimes we use God as a fortune-telling machine. You know, we're not sure about the future, or we come at a crossroad, and because we come at this crossroad, now we start to fast. Now we start to pray. You know, it's always fascinating for me, especially ministering to young men and women in a particular season in their life where they're still single. And now I've been there myself. I mean, you know, when you meet somebody, and you come at that stage of your life when you want to get married, you know, and you meet somebody, now I start to pray and fast. You see, because I want to hear from God if this is indeed the wife for me. Now all of a sudden I go through all this committed prayer and fasting and seeking God's face and everything because I want an answer. And it's always sad in my own life to see when I want answers, I'm very committed in the prayer and the fasting bit. Because this is an important question. Once I've got the question, you know what, then I go on with my normal life again. You know, so much for the fasting and the seeking God daily, diligently, unendingly, until I'm clear about His direction in my life. And we must understand God's desire for us is to seek Him continuously for who He is. Not just for answers, but for who He is. So He wants us to seek Him diligently every day, because He speaks to us every day like a shepherd. And we need to simply follow. And we need to be attentive to His voice. And you know what? How we seek Him diligently? How we draw near to Him? Is when we apply His word in our life. Like I shared last time. What does it mean to seek God diligently? It means that what I know of God, I apply in my life. Because in applying that word of God, it speaks volumes of my commitment, my dedication in seeking God's will and His purpose in my life. So as I apply the word of God in my life, you know what? God's going to speak to you more. It's going to become natural. But that's what it means to seek God diligently. It does not necessarily mean you need to resign from your vocation and go up to a mountain and buy a little cottage and spend 24 hours a day praying. No. It simply means what you know of God, apply in your life constantly, diligently, and you are naturally following Him. Through prayer, through spending time in His Word, through worship, but through living the Word through your life. You know what? That is diligently seeking God. And God says, if you diligently seek Me, you will find Me. If you diligently apply Me to your life, you will find Me. So nevertheless, let's continue there. Where did I stop? And he said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter, and he is lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. And when he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Now that's very interesting. We have the scenario, God speaks to one man, God speaks to another man. They don't understand what it means, but they obey, and here they are together, both confused, but yet with an expectation that God would speak. And now Cornelius says something very powerful to Peter. He says, listen here, you might not know why you're here clearly, but I know why you're here. You are here because God's going to say something through you. So here we are to hear what God is going to say through you. And then Peter opened his mouth and said, and I'm going to stop there, you can read the rest. But God speaks through men and women. Okay, here we see God speaks through an angel, He speaks through a vision, He speaks through His Holy Spirit, and He speaks through a man. And they all form part of God's communication to man. And the outcome of this changed the church forever. If you read the rest, but I'll leave that for yourself. But what followed changed the church forever. Historically and eternally. Maybe I should ask this morning. Who of you have asked God recently, how do I hear your voice? Is there anybody here? One voice? Two? Okay, right. So another way God speaks is through the sermon. Amazing. You see, God is faithful. He has revealed Himself. And the amazing thing about God, what I love about God is, you know, He's not different because He tries to be different, but He is different. His ways and thoughts are just different to man's. And He chooses, like He says, the foolish things of this world to reveal His power. And one of the foolish things is a sermon. And someone like myself, just being obedient to what God says, and there's three people that God speaks to today. Just through a sermon. So that's another way God speaks through. It's through a sermon. Another way God speaks through is through prophecy. When people prophesy over your life. I'm going a bit quicker because time's running out. Another way is prophecy. Now just to say something about prophecy, prophecy needs to be confirmed, Scripture says. He says, don't just take any prophecy in your life. The first person that tell you that you must sell everything and go to China, test it. Okay? 2 to 3 witnesses needs to confirm the prophecy. So if somebody prophesies, the Scripture also says, don't despise prophecy, but it says it needs to be confirmed. In other words, take it to heart, write it down, put it on the shelf. Okay? If it's God, it will be confirmed. Okay? In a way that you understand it. Not in a way somebody else is understanding it, because God is speaking to you. Okay? If it is a life-changing word to sell everything and move to China, you know what? God's going to be sure that you understand. Well, don't be afraid that God's going to speak to you and you will not understand God. Okay? God's going to speak to you in a way that you understand it. But I also want to say, if you diligently seek God, it will become more natural. Okay? The voice of God. Because it's part of a lifestyle. If we live a life that we start this living from crisis to crisis or decision to decision, where whenever we want a decision, then all of a sudden we become, you know what? That's not how God wants to relate to us. He wants us to grow in our relationship with Him. He uses these things to encourage us to get closer to Him so that we can learn His voice. But you know, ultimately we need to walk in a relationship with God that we know His voice. Okay? Because when you're desperate for an answer, you are vulnerable to deception. Okay? When you're desperate to marry this woman, you know what? I always say, a bird will fly by and a dropping will fall on your head. And you will see it as a sign of God, because what is the chance that the dropping can fall on my head? And you get people that get these weird words of confirmation. And I'm just thinking, God, I hope it's you, because where I'm coming from, that's a bird dropping. But if you're desperate for an answer, you know what? You'll take anything for an answer. But if we're in a lifestyle of communing with God, you know what? There's no such thing as a desperate moment of decision. Because I speak to God and I know His voice. And you know what? That's how we grow. It's a process of maturity. But nevertheless, one way is prophecy. Another way is through dreams. Okay, Joseph had a dream. And not during the sermon. Okay. But at night, or when you take a nap, God can speak through dreams. I dream a lot. I'm one of those people that dream 4, 5, 6 times a day. I sometimes remember what I dream, sometimes don't remember I dream. But you know what? I have only had 2 dreams that was from God. And I knew it was from God. They're not just a dream. Okay? Because some people don't dream, and other people dream a lot. Okay? If you dream a lot, don't try and follow all your dreams. Because that will be a scary world if we do that. Okay? You will know if God speaks to you through a dream. It would be like as if it was real. Okay? It's not just vivid that you remember it the next day. Some dreams I do, some dreams I don't. Okay? But you will. That's all I can explain. You will know if God speaks to you through a dream. Okay? He speaks through His Word. I've mentioned that. Through the Logos, but also through the Rhema Word. In other words, the more we spend time in the Word of God, from time to time the Holy Spirit speaks through the reading of the Word. In other words, as I'm reading the Word of God, you know what? God speaks to me personally as I'm reading. God speaks to me through His Holy Spirit. That Word becomes alive, applicable to my life. I might have a question in my heart. I might have an issue in my heart and I'm saying, God, I do not know how to deal with this issue. But God, I pray for wisdom. You know what? In my life, God has been faithful. I have always asked God lots of difficult questions and God has always answered my questions. Whether it was through His Word, whether it was through a sermon, whether it was through a prophecy, whether it was whatever God chooses to use, within 2-3 weeks, you know what? God gave me an answer. Whether it's what I need to do or doctrinally what I do not understand. And you know what? How God works. He works through His Word. He has already given this. Now, if you diligently seek God, in other words, you spend time in the Word to understand who God is and to follow His teaching and His example, you are going to be filling yourself with the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will use that. It is amazing that God uses His Word of God. You will be walking up and you would be thinking about something, praying about something, and then God will bring a scripture to mind. Because you have been filling yourself with the Word of God. So God's going to use that. Because He wants us to be in here, to know Him. It's a lifestyle. So spend time in God's Word. God will use God's Word in your life. Not just as it is, because as it is, it needs to be applied, but He will make it alive in certain circumstances in your life to give you direction. You know, Mark 6 is an interesting example. I don't know if I have the verse here, but nevertheless, Jesus, you know, walking with His disciples, they were busy, they were running around healing people, being, you know, mobbed by people all the time. And, you know, then at one point Jesus just says, you know, because so many people were coming and going, and they did not even have a chance to eat, He said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. You know, sometimes God speaks to us when we just get away from everything. There's a place for, you know, just taking a good holiday and getting away and spend some time with God. You know, because in our life it gets very busy. There's lots of things that we need to deal with in our vocations. We've got lots of things on our mind. And we're constantly thinking about lots of stuff. And sometimes it's good just to take a break, a weekend, take a holiday, and just get away and spend some time. Make some time when you go on holiday to hear from God. Just to spend time with Him. Say, God, here I am. I just want to spend time with You. You speak to me. And if you have issues in your heart, ask God your questions. But it's important. I've learned, you know, something, you know, some of you know, some of you don't know. We did an intercessory tour in South Africa. God gave us a word to pray for the nation and to do a Jericho march around the nation. Now, it's 5,000 kilometers. You can't walk it. So we didn't walk it. We took bicycles and we cycled 5,000 kilometers. And every 100 kilometers, we stopped and we interceded for the nation. And we trusted God for a specific word for the area that we are going through. And then we all came together, the 15 of us plus the support team, and we shared with one another what we felt God was saying for that day, for that area. And it was amazing that in a half an hour, that's what we did. We cycled till lunch, then we took a break, we ate, we slept, then we had quiet time for half an hour. We came together and we started to share with one another what we felt God was saying during the day and during this time. And it was amazing how God spoke to us. Just because we were focused for 6 weeks to hear God's voice and to pray. And because we consecrated, dedicated ourselves to hear God's voice and to pray for God, God spoke to us. And you came together, 15, 20 people, coming together, sharing what God is saying for this area, this place. And you're amazed at everybody confirming each other. And then we come together and we know everybody shares. Oh, that is what God is saying for this area. Okay, now let's pray that into being. But all I want to say is, you know what? God can speak to you in 15 minutes. He can speak to you in half an hour. You don't need to pray for 3 hours before God speaks to you. If it's a lifestyle, God can speak to you in a moment of time. If you just trust God. So that's why I want to say, you know what? When you only have 15 minutes or you only have a half an hour a day, whatever time you have available, put that time aside and focus not just on spending time in God's Word, but also hearing His voice. Come with an expectancy. Say, God, I really want to hear Your voice. I really want to hear from You. I really want to impart into my life. And if you come with that heart and that expectation, you know, God meets that. But we must also make a priority. Okay? If need be, make an appointment with God. If you're a busy man, make an appointment. Take your lunch and spend it with God. Tell your PA, listen here, I've got an appointment. I do that sometimes. I sometimes go on appointments. Because even as a pastor, I get busy at the office with all kinds of nonsense. So sometimes it's important for me also just to, you know, get away. Just to get a moment first, yeah, before I go on with my life. But some of us, we don't have that luxury. You know what? We have lunchtime. We've got tea breaks. We travel to work. We can go to bed earlier. We can wake up earlier. We can go to bed later. But make time with God. Seek Him diligently as a part of your life, and growing in His voice will become more natural. Okay, I'm out of time. I want to say, hearing God's voice is part of the process of maturity. Okay? We all have to grow up spiritually. Like the Bible says, we all start like babies, and we need to grow from babies to young men to fathers to maturity. Okay? So there's a process of growing up in our understanding of God. Right? And so too, in learning to hear His voice, learning to distinguish what is God's voice speaking to me, the Holy Spirit, what is my own voice, my own understanding, what is my cultural perception, what is the philosophy of the world, learning to do that. And as a young baby, the scripture says you start with the pure milk. Yeah? Babies get milk. They don't get solid food yet. They get milk. I've got two. That's how it works. You first give them milk. And to a certain age, then you give them some solids, and then later on they can do the steak. Okay. But Janine can't do steak. Okay? It doesn't work. Right? She needs milk. So the same, God says the same with us. Babes start with the pure milk of the Word. Okay? So that's what you start with. If you're a young Christian, you know what? You take the Word of God, and this is what you focus on. Don't worry about the angels and the visions and the prophecies. You just get yourself in the Word of God. You read it, you study it, you become familiar with it, you spend time in the Word of God. That is how God's going to start off with you. Because that will lay a foundation so that when you become a young man, you will have a reference to interpret the voices that you hear. Because God will never contradict His word. He won't say one day do this and then the next day say. He won't say this is wrong and then change His mind and say no, it's right. That's not God. He does not change. Okay? So as a young Christian, you need to get yourself familiar with the word of God so that when you're exposed to other voices, you'll be able to discern whether this is of God or not. And that is how you grow. And in time, you'll learn to distinguish God's voice in prayer between your own thoughts and God's thoughts. And as you apply that, you will also see the difference between the two. And that's also why accountability and fellowship is so important. So that we can, because you know what? Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes I get it wrong. Okay? So it is important to have fellowship and accountability that we can bounce off people. This is what I believe God is saying for me. And that's why we have fellowship, and that's why we have accountability with brothers and sisters, so that they can say, you know what, that doesn't quite line up with Scripture. And then we must be open to that. So we grow. Until we get mature. Okay? As a child, instruction includes shaping our character. And sometimes you will understand, and other times you will not. Okay? Sometimes I tell Janine, no. I tell Daniel, no. They don't necessarily understand why it's no, but that's not the point. The point is I'm trying to instruct you into life. And sometimes God tells us stuff, and sometimes the Word says stuff that we don't understand. But you know what? If you're young, all that you do is say, yes, I trust you, and I will obey. Because of my faith in your character and your nature, not in my own understanding. Okay? All right. I know I'm over time, so I'm going to end here. Maturity is hearing, recognizing and obeying God's voice with humility. Scripture says, if you think you stand, you're foolish. Okay? We all can make mistakes, so never think you know everything. Never think you're always right. Always remain humble. Humility is the sign of maturity. When you're humble enough to know that you are not God and you're not always right, that's a good sign of maturity. Okay, when people always try to tell you what is right and what is wrong from a place that they always know the best and they're always right, that's not humility. And that does not equal maturity. Just because somebody always knows what is right and always claim to be right, that doesn't mean they are mature. I'll just leave you with that. God still speaks. We can hear His voice. Seek Him diligently, and you will find Him, and then grow. Apply the Word of God in your life. Amen.